Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, and welcome once again to History Dweebs. My name is Tim. Welcome to the podcast where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. The title of our podcast today is The Curious Life of W.C. Minor. William Chester Minor was an American Army surgeon during the Civil War. He went on to be one of the main contributors to the Oxford English Dictionary, despite Brandy being a lunatic.
Well, you've not done too bad, Timmy.
That's right.
Thank you, Charles. So we'll talk about his very interesting life. But before we do, let me remind you, we are a comedy podcast. We cover history and true crime, and we do use adult humor. And we use adult language. So if you're easily offended, please check out Insight or one of the other podcasts, because we are probably not what you're looking for. But if you have a sense of humor and you're okay with shenanigans, we do have shenanigans, Brandy.
We do have. But what? I'm not really sure about how much comedy we have. I feel like we're being a little arrogant when we say that.
Yeah, it's relative.
Shenanigans.
We attempt to be a comedy podcast. Yeah, that's true. I'm not sure that we always pull that off.
Yeah, you have, fake it till you make it, is what I always
that's
say.
That's true. That's what I do with orgasms.
It's my motto.
That's what I do with orgasms, Timmy.
Exactly.
Perfect.
Let me introduce the very lovely, and who I may say has very, very lovely hair today. Known as Brandy the Benevolent, Queen Brandy the First, Her Majesty, long live the Queen. How are you today, Brandy?
I'm good, Timmy. How are you today?
I'm well. Your hair just looks so beautiful.
Well, cut it all off.
I gotta actually say I like the haircut. Your redheaded devil looks good.
Thank you.
Did you get a little chub?
God.
When you first posted it on the, this is where I get disturbed. When you post that picture on Facebook, and I look and I think, oh, she kind of hot. And then I go, it's Brandy. No. Then I got to beat that thought out of my head.
I can beat it out of your head for you if you like.
Did you have a good weekend, Brandy?
It was a long weekend. We went, I ended up in Buttfuck, Kentucky.
Oh, so that population.
Yeah, pretty much.
At least two.
Population, no cell phone service.
No cell phone service.
None. So that was awesome. And then I get into work today.
It's Kentucky, not Bangladesh.
Dude, I'm telling you, no cell phone service. Because I thought, oh, I'm in the middle of East Bejesus. Let's see if it'll tag, if I can, tag this place. Nope. No cell phone service.
Cannot check in.
You cannot check in. And clearly we had a hard time checking out. So, and then I got to work this morning and got a renewed sense of anger toward my nemesis.
I know. I saw that.
I'm not your nemesis.
No,
this time.
Surprisingly.
And it's not me,
Chuck,
either.
No, not either one of you.
That's amazing.
I know.
I'm glad that you're just not making your evil plans coming after me like you.
Oh, there are plans being made. Yeah.
But if we're observant, we can kind of find out.
We can head it off. Yeah, we can see where the flaw in her plan is.
Yeah.
We could build our Russian defenses.
Exactly.
Not the Maginot Russian, the Star Wars defense.
Here's the thing. as we know, he's a collective nemesis.
Like, he is a collective nemesis.
So,
yes.
You know, you can help me or you can hinder me. Which side of history do you want to be on? That's the
basically,
question.
Basically,
the winning side.
Basically,
that
someone
would be
got,
mine.
Basically, someone got credit for something that you done have
that
done.
I do every fucking day. Yeah. On accident, I do it. Every goddamn day.
A serious award. A big
yeah,
award.
A
national
like a huge award. Yeah.
A national award.
Yeah. For shit I do every fucking day that he just accidentally stumbled into and decided to do his job. Fuck that motherfucker. Fuck him. Little rat bastard piece of shit. I stabbed him a while ago. He has not bled out yet, which is disheartening. And that irks the shit out of me.
But I'm glad you're not bitter about it.
And I'm glad you're not. I'm glad this is
not
directed
at us. With the grace
and
aplomb you usually
do. You know what? But here's the thing. You know, my team works hard doing the job that they do. Your team works hard. Do we get any fucking recognition? Not a blip in the fucking paper.
Not even mentioned
in the company newsletter.
Hold the fuck on. Timmy was here for 3 months and got a super employee award.
I know, you got no super awards.
I have been, and you have to know what we do here, but we have, there's 88 counties in Ohio. For how many years, I don't know, it's been going on. We have put more people to work, which was what we're supposed to do, than any county in Ohio.
Yes. Right?
Yes.
I
and
don't
you
even get goddamn nothing. Thank you.
No. You don't even get a mention in the program.
No, I don't.
Which is bullshit. But, you know, our teams work really hard doing what we do. And then this dipshit stumbles onto something and, you know, puts 10 people through a program. Fuck him.
You do like 30 a week or something.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry about that, Brandy.
Well, you don't need to be sorry. We need to make it right.
Let me introduce the most dangerous man in podcasting today, Brandy.
Now, for Pete's sake.
A man who is really the moral compass of our podcast.
No.
A man who's been described as an oasis in the desert of despair.
Well, Timmy, you don't seem as enthusiastic as you normally do.
I'm very enthusiastic. I'm just I'm building up to a tempo here.
Oh, okay.
The very honorable, the Reverend Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Waters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
Couldn't be better, Timmy.
Like that DJ voice wonderful. I used there?
Yeah, that was, yeah.
You like that? All right.
Was you the morning DJ at WOLD?
WP? What was our radio station? We had
WPIG?
It was WNXT and something else. I don't know. But anyway, Colonel.
KRP.
Enough about me. Sorry.
Let's talk about me, Timmy.
Yeah, let's talk about you because we normally do. How are you today?
I'm wonderful, Timmy. I have my I've been doing my low carb thing.
Yes.
And I finally got myself down to 197 pounds, Timmy.
Very good. Girl, so you're really looking thin there. No, I mean you can tell you're losing weight. I'm not being. Yeah, well, maybe I am. But anyway.
You're patronizing me, Timmy.
You have a birthday shout-out today.
I do have a birthday shout-out. I got a couple.
All right. Let's hear.
Today, now it was last week, but Little Fallon, mascot of Team Colonel.
The lovely Fallon.
And Stuart Benson.
Yes. Happy birthday, Stuart.
Happy birthday to you both. I think Fallon's only about 20 years old. But
happy birthday, Fallon. Happy birthday, Stuart. Hope you have a very special day. And while I'm thinking about it, I want to give a shout-out to a new podcast. It's a very funny podcast, a history podcast, The Dirty Bits. It's really funny. It's a lady named Tani, who I believe is a member of our group. I know she is. It's very funny. I listened to it this weekend. So if you get a chance, it's new. Give it a listen. Subscribe. It's The Dirty Bits. It's really funny. And a shout out to Allison Shields, who's been a long time listener. Thank you, Allison. And Brandy, you have our Patreon shout outs.
I do. Would you like for me to read them?
Please do. And then we'll get on to the life of W.C. Minor.
All right. So, sorry. Let's go with Jen Moyer. Bridget Clavey, Brandy McBride, Christine Bourgeois, Donna Curran, Maja, Aaron with an A, Kimberly.
Aaron is from Columbus, by the way. I didn't know that.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Kimberly Cameron, Elise, Diane's student from the History Goes Bump podcast, Amber, Annette Petre, Lise, Leslie Hagar, Amber Scoville, Jahara, Alicia and Chip, Dr. Jeff and Dawn, Joe Hopkins with the Now American History podcast, Andrew Happ, Holly Woodward, Shirley Strapp, Todd Long, Lydia and Ruth Ann Fisher, Tyrone, Phyllis, Sarah Morgan, Melissa Montoya, Brittany Martin, Joe Hopkins. I said him twice because he's on here twice.
Yeah, it's
nice
okay.
fucking list, Chuck.
But Joe's a good guy, so that's fine.
Mandy Swanson, Jennifer, Cindy Liu, Heather Poole, Charlie and Allie from the Insight podcast, Chris Hauer, Cheryl Weldon, TJ Young, who just got married.
Congratulations, TJ.
Jason Dykes, Rudy the Wonder Dog, Karen Barnes, Rachel Flynn, Nene, Bridget Bernard, Rosanna from They Walk Among Us.
That's Ben's wife.
Yes, and there's been rumors that the colonel has this a sexual attraction toward Ben.
It is not a sexual attraction towards Ben. Have you listened to the show? The man has the best voice in podcasting.
I am not denying he has.
You know what? We listen. We're in that group podcast we listen to, and I hear all these hens going on about Mr. Case File, Mr. Case File, Mr. Case File, Mr. Case File ain't got nothing on Ben.
Well, let's don't besmirch Case File. It's a
I'm
fine
sure he's
podcast.
A wonderful man, but I'm just saying
it's a fine podcast.
He ain't Ben.
All right, I know.
That's
you,
all I'm
you,
saying.
You've got a Woody for Ben. All right, go ahead.
It ain't a Woody. I'm just saying.
It's a semi-chub.
Okay. No.
Not a Woody.
I'm just saying it's.
It's a semi.
His like, like morning wood.
It's
his but different.
His enunciation
but in the afternoon.
Is perfect.
All day long.
Yeah. Daniel and Kim Bassett, Tommy Lane, Shelley Garrett, Maggie Glover, Kelly Charette, Karen Widner, Callie Jones, Joseph. Is it Kerr?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. Lauren Meredith, Jessica Greeno, Mike Brown, Sarah Bloom, Becky Omelette, Karen Alden, Cheryl Pierce, Caitlin Campbell, Fiona Crisp, Laura O'Reilly, Jalen.
Yes, and Jalen just joined. Thank you, Jalen. You're very sweet.
She's a very sweet girl.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody better make sure they're nice to her. Canadian True Crime, so the people from that. That's
yes,
very, very cool.
It's an awesome podcast. Moving up in the charts, by the way.
And yeah. Jim Seabright.
Thank you, Jim. Thank all of you who support us on Patreon. If you would like to support us on Patreon, please visit patreon.com/historydweebs, where you can give a little, you can give a lot, or...
Or just a wee tiny bit to me.
We appreciate it, and if you can't afford to give, don't worry, just keep listening, and we would be very happy with that. All right, let's talk about... Brandy, let's talk about the curious life of W.C. Minor. Now, there is a murder.
I thought we were going to talk about Benjamin Buttons. That would have been fun.
I love that movie.
That's the dumbest ass movie I've ever
I
seen.
I love that movie.
Benjamin Buttons?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You live your life backwards. Yeah, I like that.
I feel like I do that a lot. One step forward, fall back in it.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about... I thought Chuck would like it since it's got Brad Pitt. He seems to have
I love Brad Pitt, but I don't like Benjamin Buttons.
Do you ever rub one out to Brad Pitt?
That's a little personal, Jimmy. But I will say,
he has.
I will say that
while listening to Case File. While listening to
They Walk Among Us.
They Walk Among Us. Yeah.
I will just say, Killing Them Softly, Timmy. I look at it as porn.
Okay.
Brad Pitt's a handsome man.
All right.
He's a good looking man. You know what, though? One day, him and George Clooney are the same age. You know that?
Yeah.
So one day, me
George
and boys.
George Clooney from Cincinnati?
Well, from Maysville, Kentucky. So anyway.
Oh, I thought you were from Cincinnati.
He went to Northern Kentucky University right here. Okay. So what?
It's very close.
Me and the boys are arguing about who's hotter. Brad Pitt or George Clooney, right?
This is the conversations he has with his sons.
Yeah. And me and Taylor are going back and forth. And I think, you know, I'm saying Brad Pitt. Taylor's saying George Clooney. Well, you know, I do happen to have a gay son. Mm-hmm. So I figure he'd be the one to decide this. And I said, Tanner, get down here, son. I need to find out who's the hottest amongst these two. And he said, who? And I said, Brad Pitt and George Clooney. He said, oh, God, Brad Pitt, George Clooney, hella old. He gonna be dead soon. George Clooney's a week younger than I am.
Yeah. That's an amazing story.
Yeah. Well, it was just not comforting to have his son say, you're hella old, you're gonna die soon.
Well.
He's right.
Yeah, he is right.
And you're older than Chuck, know, so you should be careful.
Yeah, you're older than me.
I'm trying to write these scripts as fast as I can. To leave my legacy.
And I
this
do,
fucking show is my legacy.
That you need to reevaluate some life choices.
Because you're
liable to get croup and
liable
keel
to
over.
Get the croup. Timmy, why don't you tell our listeners how dangerous a croup could be?
When I was young, I had the croup. They put me in an oxygen tent. They put ice around me. It was touch and go. I don't know why you guys like, I don't know why you made fun of that.
Because it's like you had the worst case of croup ever.
You can ask my mom. I had the worst case of croup on record.
That was before they kept records.
They got you in the books right now. Tell them who your roommate, what he had, though.
No, my next door. And then
meningitis Mike was next door
to
him.
Someone with meningitis. My parents flipped out that they put someone with meningitis.
And that's the story you lead with, not they put you in a plastic bag for croup.
Well, I was in a tent. I couldn't I woke up and I'm in this plastic see-through tent and I got ice all around me. It was scary.
It was kind of like camping in the cold.
No, it was scary. I almost died.
It was like camping
guys.
In the Arctic. And you didn't almost die.
This podcast would never have happened.
You didn't almost die. Let's just establish. You know what else they do for
They pat you on the back so you cough.
I had the fever. I got
you know what
the
else
fever.
They tell you to do? In the wintertime, they just say, go outside. You can just step outside your home, and that will help.
I'm telling you, you've never looked in the eyes of death like I did. This is 1963. It was nothing to scoff at.
You were staring into the abyss with your case of croup.
Yes. I would have been, you know.
You and meningitis Molly next door were holding hands, staring into the abyss.
So did the meningitis guy live or die?
You know, it was a friend of ours who, it was their friend's, like, their grandchild. And, no, I think she lived, but, it's highly contagious. And my parents were flipped out when they found out that they put her right in a room next door to me. Because, you know, I like to make friends, but I couldn't get out of my tent, so.
So, you hold know, on. You had to carry the tent down the hall?
Well,
what
just,
the fuck
he
was
just
you
had
doing?
To roll it down the hall like a hamster ball. You know what?
I'm telling you, it was a scary period of my life.
If you had a pocket knife, you could have got right out of there. If you had a pocket knife, you could have got right out of there.
You was how old, Timmy?
I think I was two or three.
You remember this?
Yeah. It's one of my first memories is being on this, waking up in minutes. I sent my, remember my dad and mom outside the tent.
Smoking.
it was a sad, sad ordeal. Be made light of.
Oh, it's light.
The croup is a very dangerous disease.
Back then it was.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Back then a person could die with an infected tooth.
Well, yeah, you might get
did they have the
consumption.
Did they have the antibiotics?
Yes,
back then,
it was the 60s. I think the antibiotics was around. All right, let's
talk about the medical strides of the 70s.
I know. Let's talk about the curious life of W.C. Minor, shall we? Let's get rid of this nonsense. Let's talk about the story.
Let's not talk about Timmy's near-death experience with a childhood disease that every kid gets.
Three times?
Yeah, at least.
Brandy, the Oxford English Dictionary, also known as the OED,
that's yeah. What you
see what
that's
I did
if
there.
If you have street cred, you can call it the OED.
See what I did there? It's initials.
Yes, Oxford. It's amazing.
Oxford
it amazing.
English Dictionary.
I don't get it.
Of course you don't.
The Oxford English Dictionary is a comprehensive descriptive dictionary.
Are you fucking describing the dictionary?
Well, some people might not be familiar with it.
I bet they are.
Tell me this. And I know this has been said before. But how many times when you said, could you spell some, how do you spell this word? People say, look it up.
Oh, all the time.
How in the fuck are you going to look it up?
Well, in the dictionary.
If you don't know how to spell it.
But don't you hate it when you.
No, you know what? Spell check. I can get every word through spell checks where it's like close enough that it'll do the thing where, yeah, that's it. Except for convenience. Can't spell it. The computer has no clue what I'm trying to say.
I have a problem with restaurant.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah. I have that problem too.
That weird. That's sneaky you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You never know where that you goes.
Yeah, it's kind
some
of a weird thing.
Fuckers.
Oh, my God.
All right, the Oxford English Dictionary.
No place Timmy eats at can be considered a restaurant anyway, yeah. So it doesn't matter.
The
yes, the Oxford
But I'm
English
not going to say anything bad about Wendy's. It's a fine restaurant.
Is a big book of words.
Yes, it's Oxford English Dictionary is a comprehensive descriptive dictionary of the English language published by the Oxford University Press
in
England.
Did you have to look that up?
Yeah, I did.
In the dictionary?
It traces the historic development of the English language, providing a comprehensive resource to scholars, such as myself, and academic
Clearly.
Researchers, such as myself, as well as describing usage in many variations throughout the world. The first edition was published in 1884. This is all set in the stage.
This is the history of the fucking dictionary.
Set in the stage of the story.
It's like a Faulkner story. You got to set the scene. And
exactly. I know Bob Ross. Paint the motherfucker. Come on.
So Sir James Augustus Henry Murray, Brandy, he was a Scottish... philologist. I don't know what that is. I don't know.
Did you look that word up?
No, I meant
to. You don't know what that means?
I meant to, but I got too busy. But
Chuck,
anyway.
Look that up.
Philologist.
I don't know how to spell it.
P-H-I-L-O-L-O-G-I-S-T.
Oh, okay.
He was the primary editor. Anyway, Murray was the primary editor of the Oxford English Dictionary from 1879 until his death. To complete such an unimaginable difficult task. There's a lot of words out there, Brandy.
Yes.
Murray depended a great deal on volunteers. It was sort of the Wikipedia of its day.
Okay.
You know how Wikipedia has people, entering information?
Yes, yes.
Well, that's what he sent out letters. He published in magazines looking for volunteers. In the late 1880s, about 10 years into his tenure as editor of the Oxford English Dictionary, James Murray made a startling discovery, Brandy.
What's that?
One of his most trusted volunteer readers, who was, submitting words, was a fellow by the name of Dr. William Chester Minor, also known as W.C. Minor, who had supplied tens of thousands of illustrative quotations for the English Dictionary. So he discovered he had this one volunteer who just was outshining all the others. Now, Murray had long assumed that Minor was a neurologist practicing, because he was Dr. Minor, at the Broadmoor Asylum. That was the return address on all of his letters and packages that he sent to Murray.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
While in fact, although Minor was a physician, he was at the hospital because he was a mental patient, Brandy.
Makes sense.
Locked away at Broadmoor for a heinous crime, Brandy.
A heinous crime?
How heinous was it?
Oh, it was heinous. It was fucking heinous. If I use the word heinous, you just don't worry about how.
So this goes above and beyond the dastardly deeds you usually
yes,
talk about.
Yes, this is heinous.
Well, this is heinous.
All, Chuck's not looking up what the philo word was. Spell it again.
P-H-I-L.
Uh-huh.
O-L.
Uh-huh.
O-G-I-S-T. Philologist?
I don't think that's a word.
It might not be. He was a lexicographer too. Alexcro, L I S. I'm guessing this with words. L E X I C O, G R A P H E.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, it's a study of language.
Okay. Anyway,
written in historical sources.
Okay, so he was well qualified. Murray was to be the editor of the Oxford English Dictionary.
Sounds horribly boring.
But he depended on volunteers, and one of his volunteers was William Chester Minor. Now I'm going to tell you about W.C. Minor.
If you would, that'd be great.
Yes.
Isn't that who this podcast is about?
It certainly is.
So we're going to be telling them about W.C. Minor.
Yes, we are. William Chester Minor was was descended from a long line of Connecticut aristocrats, Brandy.
Okay.
His father, in 1833, his father was a devout Congregationalist.
Oh,
I don't like those.
Yeah. He moved in with his bride, Lucy, in what is now in Ceylon, which is now Sri Lanka, to set up a missionary, Brandy.
Okay.
Set up a missionary?
Yeah.
I like missionary.
Mm-hmm. In 1834...
Isn't it just a mission?
Set up shop as a missionary, I'm sorry.
Oh.
In 1834...
Okay.
William, who's the subject of our podcast, William, the couple's first child was born, a daughter, also named Lucy. See, that's weird. Was when
women shouldn't name their kids after that.
It's like Junior. I mean, it's okay. I mean, it's normal for a guy to name a kid and he's a junior, but it's weird when a woman names her daughter after herself. Just saying. I'm just saying it's not customary, Brandy. It's not customary.
You're right. It is not.
Okay. So I'm saying, don't be judgmental. All right. So when he's 2 years old, he has a sister, Lucy, born. Shortly after his third birthday, William suffered his first major trauma when his mother died of
croup.
No.
Consumption.
The consumption.
Oh.
I would have guessed croup first.
Yeah, she died of the consumption. A few years later, his father remarried another American missionary named Judith Taylor, who is actually not very important in his story at all.
So. Oh, excellent.
But I mentioned her name just in passing.
Oh, okay.
Okay, thank you, Timmy.
They're in Sri Lanka, right?
They're in Sri Lanka, yes.
Yeah, at age 14, W.C. Minor sailed to the United States by himself. I'm guessing he was in a boat.
He sailed?
Yes, I'm guessing he's in a boat with other people, but he wasn't with his family.
Was he with a kayak? On a kayak? He could have been on a kayak or a raft.
Could have been. The Contiki, perhaps.
Perhaps.
I went to see that when I was a kid. It was a documentary on someone who went across the ocean in a raft, basically.
Like, why would you do that?
I thought it was going to be the best thing, and I was like 12 years old.
That was the most boring
show I ever saw. Now it might be interesting, but then it was boring.
I don't think so.
At age 14... So he's on a boat. He sails to the United States by himself, and he lives with his uncle in New Haven, Connecticut. His uncle owned a little store.
Okay.
Now, William Brandy,
yes,
W.C., was a very bright young man. He was the top student at his school. They did some testing on him, and his scores were off the charts.
Mm.
Brilliant, brilliant young man.
How big were their charts?
Much like when the colonel was in school.
Not ever.
And like his parents, Brandy, William was very religious. Although very devout, and as a teenager, Minor started having a fascination with prostitutes.
We all have.
Well, who doesn't?
He started visiting brothels at the young age of 16.
But that was all okay per his religious upbringing?
Well, no, he would. Well, I'll get to that.
Okay.
Minor would spend most of his allowance on hookers.
And then go home and beat himself in the back with big straps?
Kind of.
At one point, he was spending nearly $400 a month on prostitutes.
Christ, that's more than I would spend.
This is 1800.
It's more than I could earn.
1880, so.
That's a lot of fucking cash.
Yeah, he was spending bank.
What kind of fucking job did he have that he was able to do that?
His dad and his uncle was wealthy.
Christ.
So his family always had money. So anyway,
hooker money.
Mm-hmm.
What do you get, like just hooker spare change lying around?
Hooker allowance.
Yeah.
Can you write hookers off on your taxes, Timmy?
No.
As a business expense.
Minor would often, so after each visit to the house of ill repute, Brandy.
Did he go to the same house? Was he a frequent flyer? Did they have a shopper's card?
I think they had different ones. After every visit, he would become despondent after he would orgasm. And
most men do. That's the best time to ask him for anything.
That's when you need to, I just need somebody to hold me.
Yeah. You know.
And he would become overwhelmed with guilt.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. Mine's usually not guilt. Mine's remorse and embarrassment.
Yeah. Best time to ask a guy to do anything is at 5 minutes right there, right afterward.
You get that 5 minute golden.
I got a window.
Yeah.
I got a window.
It's the golden window, devil, because you can.
To let him know that I bought the $1,000 purse, really? Or, you know, those kind of things. Got a window.
Yeah, well, yeah, but let me
to catch his breath.
It is not the time to give a guy your address and say, in case you want to send me a gift.
That's true. I don't know that there is a time for that.
You do that before the orgasm.
Well, and I kind of think that she was being very presumptuous there. Like, yeah, it was going to be worth a gift.
Yeah. Yes. She was. Anyway,
it was worth.
Now, see, if she would have said
that was,
to you
Inky
beforehand,
my friend Inky,
if this happened to me up in,
we
up
are
in
lumped the, into the same category as Inky.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Oh, so Inky's
I'm up
okay.
in the Butler County Courthouse. I'm going through the garage.
Uh huh.
And this woman up there, she walking through the garage, and she's this back when crack was a big thing.
Crack is whack, by the
way. Yeah, and she was a literal crack hoe.
Sure.
Okay. True crack hoe.
I've struck out with those before.
That's murder to your self-esteem.
I'm telling you, it is.
Makes so you want to go do crack.
It's crushing. It's crushing.
So this woman says to me, and I'm not making this up, she says to me, hey, what are you doing? I was like, I got to go into the court here. And she said, I'll suck your dick for $20.
Seemed like a good deal.
And I just said, no, thank you. I appreciate that, but no, thank you.
Way to be polite.
And she said, okay, I'll do it for 10. And I was like, ma'am, I got to be in court. And she said, come on, $5. I'll suck your dick.
Bastard.
It was a fire sale.
Now, see, here's my thing. If that woman, and she was not an attractive woman, she was not somebody. If the woman were to come up and said to me.
But how did the top of her head look?
Well, that. See, if she would have said to me, hey, I'll give you a blowjob for $100 that will rock your world. Okay, I would have. I would not have. $100, I couldn't part with that. But, you know, it would have got me interested.
Well, now, when it goes fire sale, when you start you debating it like you're at a Turkish rug bazaar, it loses some of the magic.
It's very much like when the yard sale's 5 minutes from over.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they don't want to carry the coffee table back in the house.
No.
You can get it for any price.
Sure. Now, if you would have, you could have held out for $2.50, I bet.
Oh, I bet I could have got it down to $1.25.
And a ham sandwich.
I did not take up on that offer, by the way. But yeah, I just thought, you know, you just ruined the whole thing by dropping yourself down to $5.
Yeah. Her self-worth, she really needs some guidance because her self-worth is clearly in the toilet.
She needs to go to one of Tony Robbins' seminars.
Well, or somebody's.
So anyway, W.C. Minor would often, so he would become overwhelmed with guilt after he makes these visits to the brothels. And then he would often fast, Brandy, or take even more extreme measures to punish himself for his indiscretions. He would tie a string around his penis to cut off circulations, hoping his penis would die of strangulation.
So he choked that chicken.
Well, he tried.
When they say choke the chicken, I don't believe that he was trying to asphyxiate the bishop.
So he's trying to strangle his pecker.
Why couldn't he just put a rubber band, a real tight rubber band on there and wait for it to fall off?
He probably did.
Well, he,
that's,
you know.
That's sad.
It was.
It's not really.
Well, he was deep in, you know, he had this conflict because of his religion. He would also lock himself in his room for days and read the Bible, stopping only long enough to
go back to the whorehouse.
No, to sleep and take a few sips of water. So he's fasting and he's punished. He's, you know, punishing himself. In his early 20s, Minor studied medicine at Yale University, Brandy. That's a real famous college.
Then he should have known that you can't really strangle your dick.
Well, I mean.
You actually can. I mean, you can hold
it. It's not like you're cutting off the oxygen.
You can hold it so
there.
Hard sometimes it's sore the next day.
But when they take you to the hangman's noose, you know what's not going in there?
Yeah. Ooh. You know what? I wonder, that would be a good Colonel Justice thing. You shall be hung by the genitalia until death.
Ew. We're going to get
hang there a while.
We're going to be talking about genitalia.
Oh, sweet.
In a bit.
Please do. Let's get on with that.
You never get enough genitalia.
Yeah. In his early 20s, W.C. Minor goes to Yale. He was a very bright student. He graduated from Yale in 1863, specialized in comparative anatomy, and earned a medical degree in February of 1863. He finished the top of his class, and despite being the brightest guy on campus and excelling at his studies, in his spare time, when he was not studying or chasing prostitutes,
he's trying to rip his own dick off.
No, he volunteered to collaborate in developing dictionaries and encyclopedias. So he
dictionaries.
He's dictionary. Really big on these
informational books.
Yeah.
he
was very meticulous, Brandy, in his efforts and was viewed as brilliant by his professors and his peers.
Why you keep talking to Brandy and ignoring me?
I'll talk to you now. Colonel, upon his graduation.
No, thank you.
The young surgeon enlisted into the Union Army, Colonel. He was his first post was at the Knight Hospital in New Haven, And a year later, he found himself at the front. Of course, this was during the American Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
He was transferred to Virginia, where he served during the Bloody Battle of the Wilderness. Brandy.
Ooh, that was an ugly one.
Ah, yeah.
That was bad.
He served
was it,
as a...
Was it in the wilderness? Lots
no,
of people died?
Actually, it was in a 7-Eleven parking lot. I don't know.
Nice.
Only one person got hurt.
They didn't have cell coverage there either.
Yeah.
Still in bumfuck Kentucky.
Yeah, oh, I know.
So anyway... no, it was in Virginia. Anyway, he served with an Irish regiment colonel.
Oh, no, not those bastards.
It's standard.
Don't do that.
They'll no. shoot you right in the back.
You know what? That's insulting to
yes.
all leprechauns.
And we have a lot of Irish listeners, so we apologize for his...
you know, the colonel is Irish.
I know. Yeah,
you're
I know.
West Side Irish.
You're Irish. You've got gay kids. You're half black. He's, I know.
You know what? Here's the thing. He checks off all our boxes.
I know, but
he's a token.
But he thinks he can go around talking bad about people just because he's some remotely.
He's the token, and he's West Side Irish. That doesn't count.
All right. Anyway, back to W.C. Minor. Silly.
Not off the boat or anything.
Anyway, he was a surgeon, or he was a physician with this regiment. Now, as it
you was, okay?
Yeah,
he
but
got
you know,
croup again.
Well, you know, as a surgeon, he went in. He became a physician to help people, right? Much as I became a podcaster to help people
as a public service.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank God.
So, but he was a physician to help people, and but. One of the duties that they had physicians perform during the Civil
he said
War
duty.
Yeah, was when not only were they there to operate and tend to the wounded, but when they had deserters, the physician's job was to brand those
yeah. Oh,
who
yeah.
flee their post.
I think we should do that today.
Well, in 1864, Minor was ordered to brand an Irishman who was attempting to desert the Union Army. This incident left him physically ill. After performing the task, leave it alone, after performing the task, Minor was distraught and was witnessed vomiting several times, Brandy. Many commentators, Colonel, later speculated that this may have well led, this incident may have been the one that led, that drove him mad.
Just branding somebody?
Yeah, it was very traumatic for
him. Sounds like a weak stomach.
Yeah. At the close of the war, Minor rose to the Army ranks thanks to some connections he had at Yale University. He became a commissioned captain, colonel. But within 5 years, Brandy, his behavior became increasingly bizarre.
He got us on a rotation here, Devil.
So he remained in service after the war had ended and took a posting in New York, where his behavior first caught the attention of his superiors. Minor remained very addicted to visiting brothels. He would
it's more
record,
of a hobby, really.
Well, yeah. He had a problem. Mm-hmm. He would record the visits in his journal with very detailed accounts of his experiences with prostitutes. It was this sexual obsession that characterized his illness. Minor was transferred to Florida, where he became increasingly paranoid. He would accuse his superior
you
officers...
You should be paranoid if you're in Florida.
Well, the thing is, right. after he branded this guy, he started exhibiting signs of paranoia.
Could some of this be like post-traumatic?
Yeah, yeah. You'll get to that, but yeah.
Okay. Minor was transferred to Florida, where he became increasingly paranoid, and he would accuse his superior officers at this point. Oh, I don't know what this sentence doesn't even make sense, but he was, at this point, he was blaming his fellow Army officers.
Yeah, he was getting in fights with his comrades.
Shortly after challenging a fellow officer to a duel, the Army diagnosed him with suffering from mental illness of plotting against him and unpredictable, even violent.
Yeah, so it's basically schizophrenia.
But you know, there are times people do plot against you.
Yeah, does that make you paranoid then?
Yeah.
Just because you're paranoid doesn't mean there's not someone out to get you.
Exactly. By 1868, after Army doctors diagnosed Minor as delusional, suicidal, and homicidal, He volunteered for treatment at St. Elizabeth's Hospital in Washington, D.C. After a stay of 18 months, Army doctors concluded that Minor suffered from an incurable case of what we call today post-traumatic stress disorder. Look at that shit. I fucking diagnosed him.
You did.
On nothing.
Yeah, had you read the script, you wouldn't even have to guess.
I still diagnosed it. That's fucking impressive. I'm like Dr. Quinn over here. All right, so.
Dr. Quinn.
Like fucking Quincy.
Bet she could fucking help someone with a croup.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
She put you in one of those buffalo skins.
She put you in a Kroger bag and move on. All right.
She was hot. You know what? That woman never ages.
She doesn't. She looks the goddamn same.
She had kids when she was like 65.
What's her name? Jane?
Seymour.
Seymour, yeah. I'd like to see more Jane.
I know. He was described as being incapacitated by causes arising in the line of duty. Minor was given an army pension and released in 1871. In receipt of a considerable private income and now without a profession, Minor decided to travel to Europe and undertake the grand tour of classical sites.
Yeah, if you're, you know, if you're paranoid about Irishmen,
then you should definitely travel to Europe.
Right. England, where he goes, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm just telling you, being paranoid about the Irish people ain't nothing wrong with it.
Just makes you careful.
it just makes you aware.
We love the Irish.
He traveled to London at the end of that year. He took up residence at Radley's Hotel in the West End before moving to Lambeth.
Is it the La Quinta of its day?
The La Quinta of its day. Yeah. A 3-star.
Yeah, and then you know they have ice machines right out on every floor.
I do love a good ice machine. All right, let's see.
You ever wonder when you're in those hotels how old those Milky Ways are? Depends
on how drunk I am.
In the minibar, do you ever
one
wonder?
Beer, don't care, five beers, what's the worst that can happen?
It's, you know, we often take Rudy with us when we go on vacation. And I always think, you know, we're staying in a hotel that lets dogs come in here.
Yeah. How clean can it be?
How clean? Yeah, I mean, how much could they really care about the sheets? They let dogs come in here.
Right. But then, you know, you wouldn't be staying there if they didn't let it
all. You know, they say, yeah, like, I know. They say like 90% of all hotels, no matter how ritzy they are, have bed bugs.
That's perfect since we're going to stay at a hotel this coming weekend.
Do you take a black light with you?
No.
Oh, I take one with me. I want to see
what kind of crime scene I'm getting into, but not for that.
So nasty.
Oh no, I make them come and get those jizz covered sheets off my bed right now.
I use a strobe light to make it look like I'm a much better lover than I really am.
But you're very bendy.
Like little Alice Cooper.
Yeah.
Makes you look like you're going a lot faster too.
Yeah.
put some big low on me. All right, anyway, Brandy. Continues.
So the blue man got it. The blue men group got it from you, Timmy.
Exactly.
All right, so he's gone. He's at the Radley Hotel in the West End, and then he moves to Lambeth, almost certainly as it afforded greater access to the capital's sex trade.
Well, I try to stay near as the sex trade as I can whenever I travel.
Well, right, clearly. Miner's fears of persecution persisted. He believed that he was being followed and approached Scotland Yard to report this, because that's what you do.
They probably got those little hats, those Sherlock Holmes hats.
Should have found Sherlock Holmes is who he should have fucking found.
Yeah, with those pipes. I love those pipes, Colonel. You know what I'm
talking about? Oh, yeah, I got to get me one of those.
Yeah.
Let's see. One night on February 17th, 1872, Miner woke and saw a ghostly figure at the end of his bed, which he reckoned to be one of his persecutors.
People don't smoke pipes as much as they used to.
Oh, they should, though. It just depends on the kind of pipe.
I think we need to bring it back, Timmy. I think when we go to Indy, me and you need to get some tweed jackets and some curled pipes.
It's a little warm for tweed.
Back in the 1800s, when you had the consumption.
Get you some Don Johnson linen jackets.
Oh, yeah. We need linen jackets.
Okay,
yeah.
There we go.
I get the white one. You could get the neon blue
one. I want the teal.
The teal, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah. I ain't wearing no
and
socks.
And a pipe.
I ain't wearing no socks.
No mm-mm. socks, no underwear.
I'll shave this down to nothing, just make it look grubby.
He's. I would just like to point, he's pointing to his groin.
Which I'm sure already looks grubby. All right, so he sees this ghostly figure standing at the end of his bed.
Okay, poor Dougie.
Takes a pistol out of his luggage and pursued his phantom spirit into the street. Whereupon, Miner chanced by accident upon a man called George Merritt walking to work at a brewery near Waterloo. Nothing good happens in Waterloo.
Wow, he's poor guy just getting up, going to do his work.
Let's see. Believing Merritt to be the figure he'd seen, Miner shouted at the brewery worker, pursued him as he ran, and then caught him. Miner drew his pistol and shot Merritt fatally in the neck.
So he just shoots. It's Merritt, a random guy.
Yeah. Merritt had been on his way to work to support his family of six children, himself and his pregnant wife, Eliza.
Oh.
Miner was committed for trial in April of 1872. Although his defense made a great play of Miner's war experience, the true nature of them was arguably divorced from his enduring delusions. That's quite the fucking sentence there, Timmy.
Thank you. Well, the English criminal justice system was a little bit more progressive than ours, and so they recognized insanity.
Right, PTSD.
Yeah.
The latter was described in detail. A guard at his jail testified that every morning Miner would wake and exclaim that he had been abused sexually during the night. His abusers, men, women, and sometimes children, hid in the voids of the room, under the floor, in the walls, or in the rafters.
So this is in his prison cell.
So here's the thing. So did anybody check?
Here's the thing. How was they abused? When they was molesting him, was they doing it the normal way? Wow. Was they flipping him over? Because there will be physical evidence of that.
Well,
he was delusional.
But
honestly,
did anybody check? I mean, because he might not have been. There might have been people in the fucking floor.
He just might not have. It could be that the guy wasn't getting enough fiber, had some hemorrhoids. He wakes up in the morning, his butt's kind of sore, and he's convinced that somebody's coming in, doing dastardly things to him in the night.
Yep. One of Miner's stepbrothers attended the trial to confirm that this delusion could be dated back to at least his release from the Washington Asylum, and indeed might be traced back to the act that Miner had been forced to commit during the Civil War. While in open court, this act was related as having to brand a deserter.
Yeah.
It seemed more likely that Miner, a man from a missionary family,
as opposed to the guy from the Doggy Style family.
Exactly. taken part in some sexual activity that he regarded as sinful.
Well, and also the guy he killed was Irish. So he still had this
hate crime.
Well, he still has this, this paranoia that
he killed
Irish are out to get him because he branded this Irish soldier.
It's a hate crime.
Okay. So the neighborhood he lived in, they had the missionaries in one house. They had the reverse cowgirls in the other, the doggy styles next door.
Exactly. They were all laying down. As a result, C.W. Miner was now living in fear. He was particularly concerned that Irishmen were out to kill him.
Well, yeah, they usually are.
Yeah. Whatever facts the family may have wished to keep private, it was clear that Minor had shot Merritt under the mistaken belief that Merritt was one of his abusers. Since the belief was clearly irrational, Minor was found not guilty but insane by the court. He was detained at Her Majesty's pleasure. I've never understood that. And transferred to the county's criminal lunatic asylum. Minor arrived at Broadmoor on April 17, 1872, where he would spend the next four decades. He was described on admission as a thin, pale, and sharp-featured man with light-colored sandy hair, deep-set eyes.
Would you consider me sharp-featured?
Nope.
I would consider you a sharp-dressed man.
Thank you, Colonel.
ZZ Top. ZZ Top, I believe, wrote that song about you, Timmy.
Thank you. Thank you, Colonel.
Because every girl crazy about it, Timmy.
Yeah.
And a sharp-dressed man.
Yeah.
Hmm. The polo and the slouchy pants and the Skechers. That's what we got going today. All righty.
Continue, Brandy.
I will. Let's see. He like deep-set eyes and predominant cheekbones. Despite his active symptoms, he was considered to be low risk and was placed in Block 2, which had the lowest security levels within the asylum. So they were letting the inmates run the asylum.
Well,
much like they do here.
Minor enjoyed a reasonable degree of freedom within Block 2. He was able to wear his own clothes, to walk along the Broadmoor Terrace, and, as his family continued his allowance, to purchase daily newspapers, art materials, a flute, and many books for his library.
He has a flute.
Everybody should have a flute if you're in the same asylum. Mm.
Indeed, the latter grew so vast with that exceptionally...
He was a vivacious reader.
Voracious is the word.
Yeah.
Vivacious would work, maybe not, but anyway.
He was a reader, anyway.
So it grew. Minor had two rooms at Broadmoor, his bedroom and a day room for his books.
Did you have two rooms when you were in the St. Asylum?
No, son of a bitch, I had to share a room with somebody.
And shit in front of people, didn't you?
I didn't have to do that. We had our own bathroom in the room. But
whatever, you didn't go.
The guy I had to share a room with, though, he wasn't crazy. He was this poor bastard. They had a pain management clinic, but they didn't have empty beds.
Oh, they were trying to wean him off the opioids. Yeah. That sucked.
So he was going through withdrawals?
Yeah, he was, and he was an older guy, but he'd had some kind of back thing. And this is back before, they knew about the bad opioid addiction and problems.
Or OIC.
Opioid-induced constipation. Yeah. He had that because I would hear him sometimes, and they're like, it was not pretty. And see, Pete also because of the OIC, every night, people were coming in and molesting him.
Oh, I bet.
But he just needed a bit more fiber.
Oh, love his heart. Minor's art, music, and voracious reading were encouraged in the asylum as a suitable part of treatment because he was fucking quiet when he was reading.
That sounds reasonable.
An occupied mind stood a better chance of being free from unhealthy thoughts.
Yeah, try to keep that in mind, Brandy.
I don't hardly read at all.
Not even the script. She's not even reading what you got wrote down.
I was making shit
there.
Up as I go along. In the early 1880s, he spotted James Murray's appeal for volunteer readers in one of the packages of books brought to his cell.
Use that package.
Shortly after taking the helm of the Oxford English Dictionary in 1879, Murray had drafted an 8-page press release, later inserted into numerous periodicals, in which he sought to persuade English speakers around the world to mail him illustrative... Ooh. Wow, that was like a gong. illustrative quotations. We should use that as a sound effect. The Oxford English Dictionary would follow, in part, what we now know of as the wiki model of creating and disseminating knowledge.
Man, I wish we had a wiki page. If any of our listeners love us, create a wiki page for History Dweebs, please. That's our appeal to you.
I don't know how to do that.
I don't either. Maybe some of our listeners.
I do.
No, yeah. Fuck you.
You know how to do a YouTube page, too.
I know how to do YouTube.
All right, Colonel, what happens next?
I found somebody. Jake will do our YouTube page so we can have that done finally.
Yes.
Well, while professional lexicographers would write and edit the dictionary.
That's nice, Colonel.
A lexicographer?
Yeah.
Looks like a lexicocon.
Lexicon. Lexographers. Lexicographos.
Just quit.
continue, Colonel. I'm sorry for the big words. Continue.
Nobodies from the world over will be entrusted with the painstaking work of finding I just got what you were saying.
Okay. Literary. See, if you read the things beforehand,
it's unprofessional.
Well, okay.
Incorrigible and churlish.
Nobodies from the world over would be.
One minute. Did we tell you that one of our coworkers got an award?
Fucking cocksucker. Son of a bitch.
Continue, Colonel.
A federal award.
It's incorrigible. That's incorrigible and churlish.
Okay, so nobodies from the world over will be entrusted with the painstaking work of finding literary passages that could be inserted into the definitions. Mm-hmm. When Sir James Murray published his appeal to English speakers and the English reading public in 1879 for help with what would become the Oxford English Dictionary, Minor's determination to help was encouraged by hospital staff who thought it would be therapeutic for the madman.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Now, Minor began immediately to send the dictionary staff thousands of examples of word use from his book collection to assist them in their endeavor. Good word there, Timmy.
Thank you, Carl.
Minor began combing through his extensive private library of rare books and pornography.
There you go.
Not pornography.
Looking for interesting uses of words, ordinary and obscure.
Yeah, he had this huge, vast library that he could use because he was.
It was huge and vast.
Yeah, it was huge and vast.
Yes, much like my penis.
I've never heard a penis described as vast.
The vast penis.
It's quite
the
rare.
Vastness
it's
my penis.
It's quite rare. It's a gym. It's a gym.
It's a quarter carriage.
Wait a minute. Here.
Continue.
So he's going through this. He compiled in. Now, here's one for you, Timmy. Mm-hmm. He compiled enormous.
Yeah.
Word list.
That's been used as well.
Word list.
I don't know that it has.
But unlike the other volunteer readers, the meticulous Minor, who relished the chance to distance himself from his harsh quotidian existence, went one step further.
Harsh what?
Quotidian.
You know, like Don Quixote?
Yeah. Quotidian.
Pick up, crack up in a book.
Maybe you get an award.
Exactly.
You know what? When I get an award, you know the motherfuckers I am not thanking? It's you sons of bitches.
It was better read.
Purposefully. Purposely not. Well, wait a minute. I don't think it was my ignorance. I think it was his mispronunciation.
Okay. Quit the silliness.
Quixotian is a lot different than Quotidian.
Obi-Wan Quotidian.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So he would routinely write to the Oxford English Dictionary editors asking them what word they were working on and say art or buckwheat and then supply them directly with
buckwheat
apposite quotations.
Did Spanky come with him?
Apposite quotations. Apposite means an effective use of.
Oh, I quit listening to you. Go ahead. Okay.
Now, for decades, Minor sent dozens of word slips to Oxford every week. In 1899, Timmy Wright, the year before, 19-aught-aught.
Yeah, the turn of the century.
Turn of the century, Murray summed up the achievement of his favorite volunteer. The supreme position is certainly held by Dr. W.C. Minor of Broadmoor, who during the past 2 years has sent in no less than 12,000 quotes.
Well, he had a lot of time.
Much like penis, Timmy's penis over here,
this
so
vast.
Enormous has been Dr. Minor's contributions during the past 17 to 18 years that we could easily illustrate the last four centuries from his quotations alone.
That's quite the body of work that he had.
Oh, he was on the ball there. Mm-hmm. When he wasn't out shooting Irish people.
visiting brothels.
There's a lot of Maori people that needed to be shot around that time. But anyway, Murray was anxious to meet his top volunteer, but every time he invited Minor to London, Minor graciously declined.
Yeah, Broadmoor was about 60 or 70 miles from London. Mm-hmm. So he kept inviting him, mm-hmm. and he would say, no, I'm sorry.
Can't make it today. I'm chained to a chair.
My bad.
So it seemed that for a long time, Murray considered Minor to be out of bounds in a secure institution, only realizing after prompting from a colleague that Minor could receive visitors.
Oh.
In 1891, David Nicholson, the then superintendent at Broadmoor, invited both men to meet at his house for lunch, and became the first of a handful of similar events over subsequent years. Despite the potentially therapeutic effects of his work on the dictionary, Minor's condition continued to deteriorate, like the devil's.
Well, I guess I forgot to put in there, Murray was pretty shocked when he found out that Minor was, although he was a doctor.
He was a doctor.
But he was actually an inmate.
He did not realize that when he was going to see the doctor would not be treating patients.
Right.
It would be the other way around.
He would be wearing a straitjacket.
Yeah, exactly. Hard to write those notes with your straitjacket on. So despite the therapeutic effects of his work on the dictionary, he never came to terms with his sexual fantasies. And his fear of persecution never left him. On the morning of December 3, 1902, Timmy,
mm-hmm.
he tied a tourniquet around the base of his penis and sliced off the organ, Timmy.
Oh.
Sliced up. Did you get that, devil?
Oh,
I thought
yeah.
you would enjoy that.
Yes, he is.
He sliced off his male member.
I'm trying to have my Xanax refilled.
Much like me, his penis hit the floor. Except his was no longer connected to his body.
What do you think about that, Branny, when men cut off their own penis?
I think it's one of the smarter things that most of them do.
Yeah. I wouldn't be able to think no more.
No shit.
I would save a lot of money.
You would save a lot of money. No, I'm not going anywhere on vacation this year.
Yeah. Staycation.
It's a staycation. He was 60. You know what, Timmy? You'd have every cable channel in the world.
Probably.
Satellite, Dish, Xbox, PS4.
Yeah. I'd be on there. I'd be subscribed to every podcast out there.
Although he was 68 years old, so how much more was he going to use his penis?
Well, I'm 56. Unless I'm...
Well, this is back before medical advances allowed people up into the 80s to get woodies. Mm-hmm. The term for cutting off your own penis is called autopiotomy.
It doesn't even sound nice.
No, autopiotomy. In ancient civilizations, the removal of the human penis was sometimes used to demonstrate superiority or dominance over an enemy.
It's kind of Colonel Justice.
Okay, so I guess you're taking the enemy's penis.
Yeah, out. Yeah, yeah. Okay. That's not auto.
So you don't walk up to somebody and just slice off your wanker.
So you remove
and say,
the word auto, and then you got the word when you cut someone else's off.
Piotomy.
Yes.
So, okay, because I'm thinking you're victorious in battle, and then right. you come up with your sword and wank off your wacker, and you're like, look at me, I won. I'm not sure you understand how that works. Ooh. Armies were sometimes known to sever the penises of their enemies to count the dead, as well as for trophies.
Because have you ever had a penis trophy, Brandy?
Because
I had one made into an ashtray.
I actually won a trophy for my penis.
Negative.
The smallest one.
it was one of those little tiny cups.
The guy, my nemesis beat him out on that, too.
The practice of castration, fuckers, which involves removal of the testicles, sometimes involved removal of
I just put this in here so you could talk about this.
A part of the penis, generally with a tube inserted to keep Ooh. The urethra open.
Ooh. The urethra?
The urethra.
Franklin?
R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Find out what it means to pee.
Nice.
I like that one.
You got to think.
You think should. Yeah. You should really learn. I understand that you don't know our parts as women, but you should probably get to know your own.
It's the urethra. Uh-huh.
Is it? Is mm-hmm. it the urethra?
Yeah.
Now that might be how it's written there.
What are you trying to say?
I find that that's a complete possibility, but let's go now.
So anyway, she gets
bitter when she doesn't win awards.
Even though,
next time you try harder, you might win.
Yeah. All we're saying is focus a little bit.
You're going to need to be on the right side of this battle.
If you put your mind to something, you can do it.
Yeah.
Just like you got through economics.
Just like how you lost your micro penis award. Is that what you're telling me?
So anyway,
butthole.
Castration has also been used to create a class of servants or slaves called eunuchs in many different places in the area.
They're on Game of Thrones.
Brandy has her tribe of eunuchs.
Yeah, she does.
Like on Game of Thrones.
That's the first thing
she does.
They're
pretty useless, aren't they?
No, they're warriors.
Yeah.
Don't be dumb. Come on now.
Well, in the modern era.
What else are they going to do? What do they have to live for?
That's what I mean.
Pizza. That's what you do to hogs. When I was down on a hog farm one time.
Of course, it's a hog farm.
We had to. Did I tell you the story?
Yes, four times in about four different episodes. When I listen, I hear the hog story.
If you cut off the balls, they will eat.
And yet he continues.
Okay, I'm done.
Because they can get fat because they don't have anything else going on.
They're standing in line to get their balls cut off, they eat the balls of their comrades.
They do.
Yeah.
It's the damnedest thing you ever seen.
I'm going to put this in
Kentucky
your
Kentucky oysters.
I'm going to put this in your urethra and we'll see how it works.
Don't screwdriver. Me.
Yeah, here comes the screwdriver
and
out.
Ping it.
So in the modern era, removing the human penis for any such activity is rare. With some exceptions listed below.
I'm glad of that.
And references to removal of the penis are almost always symbolic. Asked why he had done it, Minor replied, in the interest of morality.
Yeah. What do you think about that, Brandy? Man cut off his own penis in the interest of morality.
Good for him.
Well, he testified for a long time previously he'd been taken out of the asylum at night and forced to fornicate between 50 and 100 women from Reading to Land's End.
Yeah, that's me.
So he was just laying pipe all up and down.
He said they took him to Istanbul
at
night.
All up and down the countryside, that man's laying pipe.
All around the world. They took him to Istanbul, Turkey to fornicate.
Hey, they need fornicators there too.
Well, he taught them. He cut it off.
Well, they were. Now,
they're not going to do that again, Brandon.
Not playing him for a fool.
Murray and Minor remained lifelong friends and continued to correspond with each other.
Except that Minor had a little higher pitch.
How would you know from a letter?
Yeah. I bet his handwriting was more shaky. But Minor's health continued to worsen. Mm. And after Murray campaigned on his behalf, Minor was released in 1910 on orders of Home Secretary Winston Churchill.
Yeah, Winston Churchill got involved in this. He got him released.
Winston said, let the dickless bastard out. Who are we going to harm now?
Is that a direct quote?
Yeah.
I do love Winston Churchill quotes.
Yeah, most of them are phony, by the way. But
I read it on the internet.
It's like Marilyn Monroe quotes. You think she was a fucking genius. Well, she's smart, but I mean, these quotes, most of them are made up. But anyway, Colonel.
Yeah, he said, talking about Murray, he said he has already given blood, sweat,
and
penis. Pecos for his country.
Yeah.
Never in history has so many given one pecker for their country.
Yes.
That's a Churchill quote.
And I love Marilyn Monroe. I shouldn't despair.
Give him liberty or give him peckers.
Yeah, give me liberty or chop off my wanker.
Continue.
The director at Broadmoor suggested that Minor return to care closer to his family in the United States.
And that's the dickless bastard.
That's harsh.
A little bit.
In 1910,
wait a minute. How's your therapy going, dear Tim?
Continue, Colonel.
In 1910, a conditional discharge. See, that's one thing he didn't have, his discharge, was granted for Minor's release.
No, I bet he had discharge.
Sir James Murray visited him one last time before Minor was escorted to Tilbury Docks, handed to his stepbrother, and put on board a steamer for the journey back across the Atlantic.
Is he on the Titanic?
Nope.
That went sock right.
That was, yeah.
That made a great story, though.
Bye-bye.
After 38 years in the Nut House, Minor was delivered back to Washington, D.C., to the Government Hospital for the Insane, where he was diagnosed with dementia precox, which is funny because
it was actually postcox.
Postcox, yeah. But they gave him the dementia precox. No. precox is like when you're 38 and you're a woman and you're starting to develop the little nub that you're going to get your penis when you're 40.
Can you finish it?
Okay, that's called the precoxes.
Jesus Christ, so. It's 3 o'clock. Come on.
Okay, he remained in Washington until November 1919. Timmy, when compassionate discharge was running down his leg.
No.
Okay.
So he got discharged.
That would have dried up by then.
They sent him near to his family, the retreat for the elderly insane.
Oh. That's where I'm going to end up.
For Connecticut. You're about 2 years from that.
What's the name of it again?
The retreat for the elderly insane.
Bunch of crazy old people all in one spot.
They really need to work on their branding a little bit.
They do. I wonder if it's like a little island. I wonder if it's like a little island in the middle of a big old lake.
Ma, you're going to like it here.
Yeah. You're going to make friends.
Yeah. Yeah, they have bingo.
You can play shuffleboard.
I like to fucking play bingo. It's fucking insane. Every fucking number, you know somebody going to yell bingo.
Someone you play with someone that's got Tourette's.
Oh, that sucks.
Be cocksucker.
That's awful.
Oh, God. Continue.
You know in the insane asylum, they cheated every fucking game.
Well, they just blame their other personality.
Or one motherfucker sitting at a table playing Monopoly by himself, put the shoe and the rabbit and the car and everything on the board.
Those old crazy people.
You remember One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest?
Yeah.
Where
no.
Where it was Jack Nicholson. Yeah. People in that house, and they bet him. There was a bet that he could pick up this air conditioning unit. You remember that?
Yeah.
Term?
Oh yeah.
Thing weighed about 4 tons. And so they have this bet where he's struggling with this thing. He can't pick it up. Oh my God, that was funny.
What? So, like that was the whole story? He bet him he could and he couldn't.
And Scatman Crothers was in it.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a guard, I think. And then someone...
You're like cracking up. That's the goddamn story. He bet him he could and then he couldn't.
No, someone says it was dark or something. And someone says. The guard, where's the guard at? And someone says, he's jerking off somewhere. It's Catman Crothers, old black guy says, ain't nobody jerking off nowhere, motherfucker.
Oh my God.
It's a great movie. You need to watch it.
It won the Academy Award. It was great.
Yeah, there are plenty of movies that have won the Academy Award that aren't worth a shit.
Motherfucker, in 1995, Sons of Bitches, and this is why I don't watch the Academy Awards ever again.
Do not point that pen at me, ever.
I'm just telling you, Timmy, this is why I never watch these fucking Academy Awards.
Bruce got fucked out of something, didn't he?
Well, no, he won the Academy Award when he was up for it. But he didn't for The Wrestler. He should have got it for that. But
that was a good movie.
The year, Timmy, one of the great all-time movies, mm-hmm. Goodfellas. Mm-hmm. Can we agree on that?
Yes.
Yes.
Motherfucking Dances with Wolves.
Oh, yeah.
Dancing with Wolves won the Oscar.
Yeah. That's bullshit.
Every time you put an animal or some kind of Native American, it wins an Oscar.
Yeah, or like a slow adult. You get a slow adult.
Forrest Gump.
Yeah,
but
Rain Man.
You can't go full crazy.
Right. But you know what? You know who else has? You know who else got screwed out of an award?
I don't know.
Brandy.
Well, we're assuming she deserved it.
Well,
more
right,
than,
I guess. Yeah. In her mind.
In her mind, yeah.
Fuck you both.
So
you're on the wrong side of this right now. You will pay.
Now, Dr. Murray remained good friends with Mina until his death.
I have to
death.
Ride with her to Indianapolis. So I'm going to be nice to her.
Yeah, I'm giving him a ride to his nap.
First thing I'm doing, Indy's
Timmy
nap.
Gave us the agenda, listeners, for Crime Con Friday is leave here at noon. Arrive there. It's an hour and a half drive tops. Get to the hotel. Take a nap.
Right. Have so, dinner.
Have
take
dinner.
A nap.
Take a nap. Yeah.
I think it sounds amazing.
Well, Dr. Murray remained good friends with Mina until his death. Now, Murray continued to work on the dictionary. His age and failing health doing nothing to diminish his enthusiasm for his work. He devoted his whole life to this, Timmy. Mm-hmm. Dr. James
kinda
Murray.
Kind of like me in this podcast.
Not the same, really, but okay. Dr. James Murray died of... Are you willing to chop off your penis for this podcast, Timmy?
It depends. If we can get a few extra downloads.
Okay.
If we could break the fucking top 100 on iTunes, we get like a 124.
You know how we'd break the top 100 if fucking Chuck over there would go through on his promise and let me electrocute his stomach muscles to through labor.
I probably would. Chuck, I probably would.
That'd be a live Facebook thing.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be, though, does it?
You Otto know, how does that even work? How does that even work? Because, you know, we get more downloads than those people.
It's
a fucked up algorithm, and it's based on you. But you know what?
Someone says based on something like your cover art, too.
Your cover
Chuck
art is
said that.
Oh, so it's not
Look
true.
It up on the internet. I'm not lying about that.
But anyway, we're happy for all of our friends who chart. We just wish we would chart sometimes. We're always at 189 or something.
Now, the second edition. Oh, I missed it here.
Okay.
Dr. James Murray, the Dickless Wonder.
You know, maybe if we put out a better product, we would do better.
Well, that could help, too.
Yeah. Brandy wasn't so consumed with her own personal glory that she had
Exactly. We got to talk about her Don Award all day.
Yeah.
He died of the pleurisy, Timmy, which is similar to the consumption. Yeah.
Dr. Murray.
Yeah, the Dickless guy.
No, Dr. Murray.
Dr. Murray, the good guy, he died of pleurisy.
Yeah.
I actually had my pleurisy punctured one time. My pleuris punctured one time.
Of course you did.
I did. By a broken rib.
Of course you did.
I
wasn't doubting your story.
Yeah, it was. It made me cough up blood. I had to go to the hospital.
Sorry to hear that.
He was 78 years old. Now, the Dickless Wonder here, Dr. Chester Minor.
W.C. Minor.
W.C. Minor. Died 5 years later of natural causes on March 26, 1920. He was 85 years old, Timmy. The second edition of the Oxford English Dictionary came to 21,728 pages in 20 volumes and was published in 1989, Timmy, with most of W.C. Minor's original contributions intact. The book, The Surgeon of Crowthorne, published in America as The Professor and the Madman, by Simon Winchester. It was published in 1998, and it chronicles both Minor's later life and his contributions to the creation of the Oxford English Dictionary. The movie rights for the book were bought by Mel Gibson, and you know he ain't going to do something stupid in the next couple years.
No.
It was bought by him, and in 2016, it was announced in a movie adaptation called The Professor and the Madman, starring Gibson as Murray and Sean Penn, who I like Sean Penn now. As Minor was in the works.
All right. So we're looking forward to the movie starring Mel Gibson and
Sean Penn.
Sean Penn. Yes. Okay. Brandy, your final thoughts on the curious life of the madman W.C. Minor.
He's a crazy motherfucker. There's not much to add to that.
He cut off his own dick.
He did. That's commitment.
Yeah. Colonel, your final thoughts on W.C. Minor.
I think that he was crazy. I mean, he tried to choke his dick to death.
But he was very intelligent.
He was intelligent, but you know what? It doesn't matter how smart you are, because if you ain't got a dick, you ain't getting nowhere with the ladies, Timmy.
Well, I don't know. Brandy, is that true?
Yes.
What if you have a wallet? Well, you're penis-loving.
Well, unless you're adapted to cunnilingus, because you're the Mickey Mantle of the cunnilingus.
I am, but you know, it does you no good unless you have a penis.
Well, no, you're talking about reciprocation.
Yes, big on reciprocation.
Okay. Oh, yeah, well, I'm not even big on reciprocation. I just want you to do it, and then I go on about my business here. And...
Brandy, any final thoughts?
Nope.
We're going to be in CrimeCon this weekend in Indianapolis.
I'm excited.
We're arriving Friday. We're going to be staying at the Westin.
I'm excited. I'm ready.
We are looking forward to meeting all of our listeners. But whatever you do, don't touch us and don't look at us in the eye.
Don't look. You know what?
See us coming, please bow or something.
Okay. I have to say this for all our listeners who are going to be at CrimeCon, who may run into us at CrimeCon. Brandy and Timmy are peculiar people.
What the fuck?
Come on now. You tell me somebody gets within a foot and a half of you, you're not going to get berserk on them.
No.
You got personal space issues, girl, that people need to be warned about in advance.
I will be fine. I go out in public all the motherfucking time.
I know
time.
You go out in public, but if somebody gets too close to you, you push them down on the ground.
You know
I've
what?
You
if, she was, if she was a little bit more warm and welcoming, she might have won an award.
Yeah, she probably would have.
Yeah.
Fucking hate you guys.
All right.
Timmy, good luck. Stick your dick out and see if you can get a ride to fucking GrindCon.
And Timmy, just so you know, Timmy may be talking to you in the middle of a conversation and just walk away from you.
Really? So, Timmy does that? Timmy does that? Really?
Well, I do it because I'm probably introverted. He does it because he's squirrely.
He's probably going to tell a bunch of stories about his dog.
No. Jesus, I'm going to be hiding in my room. Locked away. Not. I know, but I want to. Okay, so let's...
Where can people find us, Devil?
Yes.
Well, they can find us on Facebook.
And? You can find us at History Dweebs. You can find us on Facebook at History Dweebs, the podcast. Join our group. We love to have you.
Find us on Twitter.
At
Stitcher?
You can find us at...
Not there yet.
Okay. You can find us on Twitter at History Dweebs 1, or you can follow Brandy at Brandy Vennay. That's Brandy, V-E-N-N-A. Or you can find follow the Colonel at Hawk Waters.
And you can find us on the iTunes.
Yes, please leave us a review. We got a pretty crappy review recently, but we also got a very positive review. So we do appreciate that. If you are listening to us on iTunes, we would really appreciate you leave us a review. It's how people find us, and that's how we move up the charts.
You're going to leave a crappy one, leave one that's funny, though. Don't just say this sucks. Just lazy.
We've had some problems on the Facebook page with people being idiots, and we've had to kick people out. So I think that's how we get some bad reviews. But anyway, Baby Cakes loves Mitchie's. Thank you for your 5-star review. We really appreciate it.
Yes.
And thank you all for listening, and we'll talk to you. We'll see you again next time on History Dweebs.
Bye-bye.
Good day.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High-quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.